Now I would like to read a passage in Colossian letter and chapter 1, the Colossian letter and chapter 1 and verse 24. I'm going to read from verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I was made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which was given me to you all, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and generations, but now hath it been manifested to his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, whereunto I labor also, striving according to his working which worketh in me mightily. For I would have you know how greatly I strive for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, that they may know the mystery of God, even Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. This I say, that no one may delude you with persuasiveness of speech. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As therefore ye received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and builded up in him, and established in your faith, even as ye were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Take heed, lest there shall be any one that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him ye are made full, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, the phrase that I want to underline this morning is in verse 28 of chapter 1, and here it is, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That we may present every man perfect in Christ. It is perfectly clear from the letters of the Apostle Paul that this was the burden of his heart. You have only to turn over to Ephesians and chapter 1 and those well-known verses in verse 15, 16, 17, 18, where he says that he is praying for them that this spirit of wisdom and revelation may be given to them in the knowledge of Christ, the eyes of their hearts being enlightened, that they might know. And then he goes on to enumerate what they must know. It is quite clear that the Apostle Paul was much more concerned than with just getting people saved. He was much more concerned than just bringing people to an initial saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is quite clear that he saw as a goal the end, the finished thing. And it breathes through all his letters. It doesn't matter where you turn in all his letters, even those that are dealing with very fundamental and elementary things. He's all the time holding before them this goal. This is the end, he's saying. Now then, the whole objective of our ministry and of our prayer is to present you complete, present you perfect, present you fully grown. You've got it again, of course, in his testimony in the Philippian letter, where he says in chapter 3, he says, verse 12, not that I've already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be, that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In the Colossian letter, chapter 4 and verse 12, we read that it's not only Paul who has this as an objective of his ministry, but also Epaphras. Chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, saluted you, always striving for you in his prayers, that ye may stand perfect and fully assured in the will of God. It's not only, we must stop now, but I mean, so many things come to us in other letters. You know, for instance, take that apostle about which we know so little, Jude. We only know that he was a brother of the Lord Jesus after the flesh. But this is what he says in his last closing lines. Now unto him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of his glory without blemish in exceeding joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord be glory, majesty, dominion and power before all time and now and forevermore. It's quite clear that these letters would never have been written. Many of these letters would never have been written if this had not been the burden of the apostles' prayer ministry as well as their prophetic and teaching ministry. Because again and again in these letters, it is just this that is the heart of the matter. They are writing to believers, not to those who are not children of God, but to believers. And the apostle is saying to believers, now then you must understand there is very much more than just having your sins forgiven and knowing the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lamb and knowing what it is to be justified before God. That's tremendous. Tremendous. And it took all the work of Calvary to bring it about. But that is not all the work. Well, now, what does this word really mean in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28? Perfect. I think we just need to get quite ourselves clear on the meaning of this word. Perfect, that I may present you perfect. The word signifies having reached its end. Having reached its end. Or finished. Or accomplished. And I think we could put it like this so that we understand it a little better. That I may present every man, I don't think we can say finished, but I think what we could say is complete. Complete or mature or fully grown or having reached the end God had in mind for him or her. The thought is completeness. Completeness. Full growth. Everything developed. Fully grown, fully developed. Everything is there. Nothing is missing. We could put it another way. We could put it like this. Here is a child. Everything is there in the child in one sense. But if as they grow, certain limbs do not grow, something's gone wrong. And the whole body is thrown out. Isn't that right? We speak of someone being crippled or lame, and then the whole body is thrown out. It's there and yet it's not there. The leg is there and yet it's not there. The fingers are there, yet they're not there. The tongue is there, and yet it's not there. Do you understand? That I may present every man perfect. That is, every part of him there and fully developed. Functioning in harmony. Well, of course, we all know that everything is ours in Christ. We know that. He must be a very poorly taught Christian who doesn't know that all is ours. By the blood of the Lamb, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, everything necessary for being turned from a sinner into a saint has been given us. It's all there. We can't blame God. Say, well, of course, I'm one of the lesser minions. God gives a special grace and special help to the bigger luminaries amongst us. But I am one of the lesser lights. And you can't get away with that. Can't get away with that. You see, the point is, there is truth in it. But it is, in fact, the way you're putting it, is a lie. You see, if God gives you a greater ministry, he gives you a greater gift of grace. If you are given a greater gift, he will give you greater faith to operate the gift. Now, this finds us all out, because it means that if we are someone who has a smaller function in the body, we've got all that's required for that to be fully developed, for us to be fully developed in character as well as in function. And if we have a greater gift, it's no good saying, oh, well, I have so many problems, I have such great conflict because of the gift God's given me, the ministry God's given me, the position God's given me, things are well nigh impossible. The fact is, it's grace according to the need. So every one of us has been given everything we need in Christ because of his finished work, and it is made available to us by the outpoured Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent who brings everything there is of the Lord Jesus Christ and makes it real to us. You cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. You cannot experience the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies him. The Holy Spirit takes of the things of Christ and makes them real to us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, leads us into the truth as it is in Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is the one who takes you by the hand and leads you into Christ. All that you and I require has been obtained by the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, through his blood, through his finished work. And it is the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes to see. See that it's ours. It's such a glorious day when suddenly we see it's ours. Instead of all that striving and struggling and everything, we suddenly see it's ours. It's been mine all the time. But of course, it doesn't become yours till that moment your eyes open and you say, "Why, it's mine. Thank you, Lord. I'll take it. Take whatever you're giving me." Do you see what I mean? Now, this whole matter of being perfect. The Lord says, "Be ye perfect as I am perfect." And it's the same word. Be ye complete as I am complete. Now, don't you see that even if everything is ours in Christ, I can never understand how anyone cannot see this. if everything is ours in Christ, the very fact that it was the burden of the apostles' ministry to present every man complete suggests that it's possible to be incomplete. You got it? However much everything is ours in Christ, the fact is that the apostle was no fool, spiritually or otherwise. The whole burden of his ministry was, look here, although everything's been given to you in Christ, there's a terrible possibility that in the end you'll be incomplete, you'll be immature, you'll be dwarfed, you'll be a baby, spiritually. That's why the burden of his ministry, to present every man, listen, he says, admonishing every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete. In other words, the apostle says, if I one day stand before the face of God and present these folk, at least I shall be able to look, I've done everything I could. Not only did you do everything well, but I did by your mighty working. I did everything possible to bring these people to completeness. You have it out with them. If they're not complete, present every man complete. Now, what does that mean? Well, I suggest this. Here we have a person who is separated from the world. The Lord has had deep, deep dealings with them. But there is no power. They cannot take part. They cannot witness to another person. They can't praise the Lord in public. Campbell said a very interesting thing to me a week or two ago. He said, when a person cannot pray or praise the Lord in public, it means the Holy Spirit is absent. Very true. They're incomplete. We're not saying there are not deep dealings of the Lord in that life. There's not a real history. There's not true grace. There's not a revelation in that life of the sweetness and beauty of the Lord Jesus. But there's no power. So they're unable to praise or take part or witness or go out in the streets or just speak to someone about the Lord. The other way round. Here you've got someone who's got all the power in the world. Oh my, they'll jump in where angels fear the dread. But no holiness. Now, I don't care how much you talk about an experience of the Holy Spirit or of the Lord. If there is no holiness, you are incomplete. You are incomplete. We can look at it from all other kinds of angles. Here's someone who knows something of Christ within. But they don't know anything of being clothed with power from on high. We can look at it from all angles. Sometimes we find a person who is all go and no prayer. They're incomplete. Now, thank God, as we heard last Sunday morning, for the martyrs. Where would we be without the martyrs? Why, you'd all be in a sorry state. So would I, if there weren't the martyrs who cooked and scrubbed and polished and cleaned and so on. But Martha in herself can be incomplete if she leaves that better part. As the Lord says of Mary, she has chosen the better part. You know, these things, well, we get some people who are all on teaching and deepening of spiritual life, and their one sort of clarion call is, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. And then we have others who say, we must go out, we must go out, we must go out, we must reach, we've waited enough upon the Lord. Let us go out and reach the unsaved. They're dying all around us. You know, if you take one or other, it's incomplete, isn't it? And the apostle's whole burden here was to get people out of sort of finiteness into something much greater, out of something parochial, even in their own lives, into something universal, to bring them out of something restricted and limited into that which is complete and fully grown and fully developed. Well, that, as I see it, is the burden of the apostle here. That we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, are you complete? Well, I have to say to myself that I'm not sure I'm complete. I know I have the law, and I thank God for all that I've found in him so far. And I praise him for the different experiences that at times have nearly knocked me out, like great peaks in one's history. You look back and you see peaks. Well, I can think of at least three or four great peaks in which I was knocked out for a few months. Perhaps you're all hoping that I shall be knocked out again for a few months. But I can look back and see those things which turn one absolutely upside down. And you couldn't explain or interpret really what had happened for some time afterwards. But even the Apostle Paul evidently was conscious that with all that he'd had, and he had had much more, I suppose, than all of us, caught up into the third heaven, heard things not lawful for a man to utter, and all the rest of it, revelation such as very few, has been given to very few, yet he says, I don't think that I have fully laid hold on that for which I was laid hold of. You see, in other words, he was saying, I'm not sure I'm complete. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on, because there's more. There's more. Now, I want you to note, too, that the apostle says that we may present every man complete in Christ. Every man. Now, I do like that. He doesn't sort of settle for an elite few. He says that we may present every man complete in Christ. That is everyone. Now that immediately goes to the root of the matter. That there is not one single blood-bought child of God, not one believer born of the Spirit of God, whom the Lord could not bring to full growth, to full development. Not one. Why? Because it's not a question of your zeal or even your devotion. It is a question of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The fact is that the work includes all, even the vilest sinners. Whoever you are, whatever you are, the work's been done for you. Something has been won that few of us, if any of us, have ever fully explored. It's all done. It's all offered. It's all given to us. Now, isn't that wonderful when you think about it? And the Holy Spirit is given to us on precisely the same basis. It is the Lord Jesus who's received the promise of the Spirit for us, the promise of the Father. On the basis of this finished work and a rent veil, the promise of the Father has been obtained for every one of us. That means that every one of us can be presented complete. Every one of us can be presented complete. Now, the next thing I'd just like you to note about this little sentence is the sphere. What is the sphere in which God works alone? Listen. That we may present every man complete in Christ. In Christ. That's the sphere. And wherever you look here in Colossians, you'll find that this is accentuated. It's all in him. It's all in him. And when you are in him, he is in you. So you've got it here, you see, that we may present Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we may present every man complete in Christ. Abide in me, and I in you, said the Lord. As the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. First we come into him. Now, all that we need is there in him. That's the sphere. Now, I find that very wonderful. In chapter 2, verse 9 10, we read, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him ye are made full." Now, this is a different word to the other. But you know, it's still got the same feeling. In him ye are made complete. Those of you who've got an authorized version, you will notice that it is, "In him ye are made complete." Or made full. That's the sphere. In him ye are made full. So if we seek outside of him, we shall seek, and we shall seek, and we shall seek, and we shall seek, and we shall never find. For it is in him that we find the fullness of God. In him we are made complete. Well, then someone says, how? Lastly, you'll find how in verse 6 and 7. "As therefore ye received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." Then he goes on, "rooted and builded up in him and established in your faith, abounding in thanksgiving." There you've got it. How did you receive him? By faith. How are you going to walk? By faith. Now, to walk, you must take one step after another. You don't go in hops. You take one step, and then another step, and then another step, and another step, and so you walk. So as you received Christ, how did you receive the Lord Jesus? You received him in simple faith, didn't you? Not because you were anything, not because you could offer anything, but because you were nothing, you were desperate, and you needed his salvation. And you took him by faith. Now, each step in the Christian walk is taken by faith. You'll never feel right. So if you're waiting to be filled or met in some new way, and you're waiting to be sort of, well, you feel everything's right, the circumstances are right, the condition's right, the weather's right, you know, rather like those launchings from Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy, that everything's got to be exactly right before takeoff. You'll wait, and you'll wait, and you'll wait. You'll never take off. I promise you that. Because the only way you can get that rocket off that launching pad is by faith. And I can tell you that if the Lord is really dealing in your life, he'll bring some darkness and cloud and storm that will tell you the exact opposite. That this is not opportune. This is, the circumstances are wrong. The condition is absolutely hopeless. It's all no good. Mr. Redpath used to say when we were younger, if you are conscious of failure, look up. The Lord's going to meet you in a new way. Once you're desperate, the Lord can meet you. But he'll not meet you till you're desperate. If you seek him with your whole heart, he'll meet you. Well, how is it going to happen? You're going to have a wonderful sort of, oh, be careful. You had that to begin with, it may come after, but if you had that to begin with, I would be very suspicious indeed. "As ye received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up." Something going down into him and something going up. You see? That's how, by faith. Well, now, are you complete? Are you really going on? Here is the burden and object of the apostles' ministry. May the Lord bring each one of us in his own ways, in his own time, to the place where we take another step forward by faith in him. Shall we pray? Father, thou knowest all our need, and thou knowest every heart, Lord, and thou knowest the areas in which we're incomplete. We're not fully developed, Lord. We are all conscious of much. We could spend the whole of this day, Lord, just enumerating for one another where we are in need. But, Lord, we just come to thee and we pray, Lord, thou hast a time for everything. And we pray, Lord, that by thine own wonderful working, thou bring us to the place where we take another step, whatever it is, Lord, that's forward into completeness. forward into full growth, forward to maturity. Lord, we commit ourselves to thee. We don't know how long we have before thou shalt return. But Lord, we do just pray that thou wilt work in this way in all our lives. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus.